Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to the Deanne Burley Show. And this is Deanne tonight. And we're here on the conspiracy broadcast. We're going to talk about a couple of subjects here, but the main one is this wonderful book I found in Borders. You can find it in Barnes & Noble as well. It's called Conspiracies in the Secret Societies by Brad Steiger and Sherry Steiger. And I'm going to read something that's kind of interesting. And this is about a former, current, on and off co-host of a radio talk show that everyone's familiar with, Art Bell. Conspiracies, things, stories that people put out in the news, the things that people tell you, you know, happened, that may have happened, maybe not happened. But this one is pretty much accurate. As you know, for years, once you listen to my broadcast, I've been on for quite a long time. To be honest, I was one of the first ones that went on the internet, to be blatantly honest with you, back when AM hosts were on AM radio. And I was on AM, and I was fooling around with things on the internet, and I came into being with creating this thing. First thing I did was, during the time of the Bush election, I had all the alternate candidates that were not reported on my show. So what I did was I linked into Truth Radio. Also, there was no Blog Talk at the time. It was Truth Radio, and it was RBN, which I was on. And I connected those two broadcasts, and I connected to Alfred Weber's broadcast out of Canada. And I connected to satellite and various other radio systems. In fact, truck drivers even had their own radio system. And I made a connection across the United States and the globe and also told it back into the AM station I was to interview all of the alternate candidates that were running for president during the time of Bush versus Gore. Give people opportunity to choose other candidates, which you should have the right to know who these candidates are. They shouldn't be hidden, but they are. I went to even the FCC to complain, you know, that they do not allow equal time and equal justice to alternate candidates. But again, you know, with all this control in the media, those names were never released. But there were numerous people that ran for president that had no information out in the press, not one iota. The rich guys had the names out there. People that have connections, individuals that had tied directly to the press. Those are the ones you saw. But the other people, there was a scientist, there was several other individuals that had some very interesting ideas about what to do if they were president of the United States. But again, none of their names got out. I even, not too long ago, ran against Rahm Emanuel in Chicago for mayor when he first went into office. And again, the blocking press refused to allow me equal time and equal justice on the air, but I was a write-in candidate. So was Stone. His name is familiar because of his father being alderman in Chicago. And there was two other candidates that ran, and everybody was being blocked. Those candidates were on the actual ticket. Instead, they had Carol Mosley-Bond, they had Congressman Danny Davis, and they had Rahm Emanuel. And again, it was controlled. Neither people had no rights, no information, but only the ones they chose and picked, handpicked. And then eventually the same people get in office again and again. Controlled media. And again, that is, I think, a conflict because it is causing a situation where people have no equal rights. Now, is this a conspiracy? I think so. Don't you think it's a conspiracy when somebody is blocking other people from having the right to be able to share their view and become a president or elected official? It's not only a conspiracy. It is something that we need to do something about. But again, will we? I don't think so. Now, back a long time ago, people used to listen nonstop to a talk show host named Art Bell. Now Nori took over Coast to Coast, but Art Bell was the one that ruled the network. He came on with his broadcast totally unfamiliar to many people across the United States, but then there were other ones that went way back. There was, I don't remember the names as we go, but there were other ones that were doing this at the Chicago market, at WLS Radio and various other. There was something called News Radio in Chicago, and you had these people that were talking in the middle of the night about stories that you would never even believe happened. And they were very popular shows. You had Larry the Legend. You had, I'm trying to think of the other, Ed Schwartz. You had, every night he would have so much interesting shows on talking about various subjects that you never really heard in the mainstream and had guests on. And it was very different than any other show. Then behind, and during that time, these guys were on back as far as the 60s and 70s. They were on AM radio. And most of the older generation would listen to these shows. And they would call in, and they enjoyed those shows. And then they became syndicated. Well, Art Bell was one of them. Now, this book that I have called Conspiracies and Secret Societies talks about Art Bell. Now, I talked to Art Bell and O'Nori, as I told you, was on RBN for a number of years. And some of the guests that were on Art Bell's show were on my show and vice versa. But the thing was interesting was what happened to Art Bell and what has happened to other broadcasters. And I'm going to read this part and give my opinion of what was written because I know other areas of the story. Art Bell, it states, broadcaster from a desert compound not far from the Fade Area 51. Art Bell keeps listenership up all night with accounts of UFOs, time travelers, and conspiracies. Art Bell, the original host of Coast to Coast, one of the largest syndicated Monday through Friday talk show programs in the United States, and its sister program, Dreamland, on Sunday nights, has said that his quest was wisdom began early in life. He claims that he makes no judgments about the stories that his listeners phone in regarding UFOs, monsters, government cover-ups, Illuminati, Freemasons, conspiracies. They expound on a personal theory he calls the quickening, namely that time is speeding up and bad things are happening at an accelerated pace. Now, is that not true? Think of what's going on right now. Think how quickly we're aging. Think about how a week goes in a minute. Just a flash of a blink of an eye, a whole week is gone. Indeed, time is quickening. But do we realize it? Do we talk about it? No. But he felt this, and he talked about it on the show. I used to listen regularly. Art Bell operated his one-man show that serves as his own engineer. He served as his own engineer, producer, information director, and star. Well, I do the same. Exactly, because I control my show. My show is me, nobody else but me. Out of his ranch-style home in Pelham, Nevada, 60 miles west of Las Vegas, not far from the Fave Area 51, the secret military base where some of his guests swear UFOs are being reverse-engineered, Bell and his wife, Ramona, are not reluctant to recount the UFO sightings they experienced one night as they were returning from his previous job at radio station KBWN in Las Vegas. The Bells described the object that hovered around their mobile, their automobile as enormous triangle craft, each side about 150 feet long with two bright lights at each point of the triangle. Bell recalls that the UFO was silent and had barely moving at, as it floated directly above them. After years of discussing alleged government conspiracies and the nefarious deeds of secret society, Bell found himself embroiled in controversy of his own when a scientist told him that a spaceship was superstitiously following the Hale-Bopp comet. Bell repeated the story over the air, and the airwaves reverberated with paranoia concerning the aliens' vehicle mission. However, Marshall Apple White, a.k.a. Bo, the co-creator of Heaven Gate cult, knew why the spaceship was coming. Word of the UFO followed closely behind Hale-Bopp. Was just a message that Applewhite had been waiting for years to hear. The alien crew was coming from another dimension to take him and his 38 followers home with them. Bell insisted that he discouraged the story of Hale-Bopp, and it is the tagged-along alien craft on his show before the Hale-Bopp massacre at suicide. But several newspapers and national news magazines slanted their reports so that it appeared Bell had been somehow responsible for the cult's death. He was defended what he had considered a groundless attack on his credibility. Now, again, these people came on the show, and they talked about this situation. And immediately, the alternative press and those that will be able to draw from this attention to their media started attacking Art Bell. Now, these stories, by the way, come to me, come to other people as well. You have guests on. You can't control the contents of your guests, and the guests seem to be credible. Well, in this case, these people could have been another Jim Jones cult. And in fact, later on, it was stated that they were almost a Jim Jones cult. Then the report goes on. Soon after the Hale-Bopp UFO turmoil, a fundamentalist Christian broadcaster accused Bell of being a child molester, found innocent of all charges, which had been completely fabricated in an effort to discredit the radio personality. Now, I know about this. Happened to be somebody in this area, Illinois, that was investigating him in the insurance claim. They were going after Art Bell to get him off the air. I know this for a fact. I met that person, and he gave me details of what he was investigating. But then I knew who the person was that was involved with trying to get him off the air. It was somebody he had on his show. The person was very angry about some of the things that Bell tried to expound on him later on. And anyway, this person started a campaign to get Bell off the air. That's how vindictive a lot of these people are that are you have on your show that have hidden agendas. The agenda is to get you to believe lies, conspiracies that don't exist, and to twist the audience around against the actual host, to take the host off the air. Why? Well, there are other people that don't want this information out. This is the reason why they were going after Art Bell. Now, further, it says that Art Bell, I'm trying to read it. Go down. Where this is. Bell next faced an internet campaign claiming that he had openly declared his hatred for Filipinos and condemned the Filipinos as filthy and disgusting. The charges was totally unfounded and deemed obscure, by Bell's listeners who know that his first wife was Asian, an Asian woman who's part Filipino. In 2001, Filipino Inquiry published a retraction and apologized to Bell after it had printed this slanderous story. Bell was licensed by the FCC Commission as a tech guy, by the way, when he was only 13 years old. He had worked in commercial radio for nearly 40 years, but it was when he was at a 50,000-watt KBWN in Nevada that he built a following over 30 Western states for his brand of conspiracy and paranormal radio. So conspiracy theorists have suggested that Bell is on the payroll of secret government and is paid handsomely for spreading disinformation about aliens and the terrestrial agenda on Earth. Not really. I don't think so. I think Art Bell put on people that were of interest and people that he had thought that people would be interested in hearing their stories. Again, there are people out there that did not want these broadcasts out because it clearly denoted that they were lying about UFO and various information. Again, this proves out recently with declassified UFO documents that are coming from the government and other credible people that have stated that they have seen UFOs and found reminiscence of something here that is not of this world. Now, again, is it alien-based or is it based from something inside the planet? You go find out. The things that we do as reporters, we just put it on the air. Is it a conspiracy? Not really. It's just news you don't know anything about. Furthermore, it talks about, on here, about Art Bell. Over the years, Art Bell announced several retirements from radio programming, swearing each time this is the final broadcast. After a brief hiatus, Art Bell was back on the air at the request of his fans, and the Premier Radio Network hosting Saturday and Sunday nights. On January 1st, 2003, George Norrie, who I also know, took over Coast to Coast broadcast. On January 5th, 2006, Ramon Bell, 47, Art Bell's wife of 15 years, died of an apparent acute asthma attack while the couple was on a brief vacation in Nevada. During January 22nd, 2006, broadcast of Coast to Coast AM, Bell told in detail the event of his wife's death and indicated that he would host C2C radio on Saturday and Sunday evenings. By the end of the month, Bell was teasing his listeners about a major life decision that he was making, but he said that he was keeping it a secret for a year. By April 15th, however, Bell ended the mystery by disclosing that after several weeks of mourning, he had traveled to the Philippines and married a recent graduate named Ari Reyes. According to Bell, the young woman had contacted his radio show to express her condolence upon learning of Ramona's death, and after the two had dated on the internet for hundreds of hours, Bell had traveled to the Philippines to meet and marry her. It says that Art Bell relocated to Manila to begin broadcasting from the Philippines, but technical problems kept his intermittently off the air until July 23rd. On October 7th, 2006, Art Bell announced that on C2C that Ariel was expecting a child. And December 28, he opened the broadcast by stunning his audience with news that he and his bride had relocated back to California, his place where he was staying before. And on May 30th, 2007, their first child was born. On July 1st, 2007, shortly after the birth of his daughter, Bell announced his wishes to spend more time with his family, effective that day, and he retired from radio. Art Bell did not spontaneously return until 2008 as the occasional host of Host to Coast, but there were difficulties in obtaining a green card for his family. The family returned to the Philippines in March of 2009. May 17, 2009, Art Bell hosted a program from Manila, hinting that his move to the Philippines might be a permanent one. His final turn as hosting was on what had always been his annual Ghost to Ghost Halloween program on October 31st, 2010. As of December 2010, Art Bell was no longer a host of Coast to Coast website, but the weekly Somewhere in Time with Art Bell classical episodes remain. Sketchy information would seem to indicate that Bell and his family had returned, and that this issue over Bell's immigration status had been resolved. Bell's fans insisted that the Enigma, a message transmitted via Facebook in August 2011, indicates that Art Bell plans to return to broadcast. Now, the thing is, now Art Bell is a number of other hosts, with a number of other hosts, had the same issues. I remember that there was one out of New York. I forgot his name, but he was very popular at the time. But he was kind of what one would consider between Aryan Nation and one of those groups like that. Anyway, I had him on my show several times. And he was involved with another conspiracy. It's interesting enough, a lot of these talk show hosts go through this. What happened to him was I had him on my show, and he talked about what he saw on September 11th from his window in New York. He watched the whole thing, and he gave his account. Well, not too long after that, a series of events happened to this guy. He was talking on the show, and he said something that ran out of, well, came out on the show about a judge. Well, what he said was something about this judge should da-da-da-da. And once he said that, he was in prison. And I have not heard this guy come out of prison yet. He had said something very dangerous, considering what he said about a federal judge. Again, these people were targeted. He shouldn't have said those things maybe on the air. I'm not sure what he said because I didn't hear the show. But like I said, he was blatantly targeted because they were trying to get rid of him off the air. And I think it was because of what he said happened on 9/11. We also have the gentleman that put on In the Wilderness. He was a friend of my broadcast as well. And he was on for a number of years, and he was a former investigative detective in California, investigating that case with the family that was involved with allegedly the daycare scandal with FBI agent Ted Gunderson, who I also know and had interviewed countless numbers of times on my show. Well, interesting enough, this guy told me on the phone that he had to leave. He told me that basically in a way that they were after him. Who? You know, if you want to call it a conspiracy, I don't think so, because, again, he's no longer with us, because all of a sudden he shot himself and killed himself when he came back to the United States, allegedly. So then during the time he was on the air, he was making it plain that he was going to ride this thing through to see how everything would end. Instead, he ended his life, allegedly, by his own hand, allegedly. Is it a conspiracy? Nah. Because, see, they don't want you talking the truth. So the next thing you know, you don't see these people on the air. Now, another, we can bring another conspiracy on. It was interesting. In fact, I'm the first person that reported Ruby Ridge when it happened. I got information about Ruby Ridge directly as it was going on. When Randy Weaver was down there and nobody would cover the story, I was the one that broke it. Randy Weaver, as you know, was down in Idaho and held off officials for I don't know how long because they were trying to force him, from what the story goes, into going back into military ops, and he refused to do it. So they tried to set him up, allegedly, on a drug, not drug, but arms charge. They said he had guns, unregistered guns, so they went after him. His wife ended up shot. His three of his kids were murdered, and in the end, he got paid by the government. But then how do you replace your family? That was Randy Weaver. Let's see. George Norrie. Here's a story about him. George Norrie is the host of the national syndicated program Coast to Coast AM, which is heard by millions of listeners on approximately 560 stations in the United States, Canada, Mexico. Norrie provides his devoted listeners with a steady diet of provocative interviews, discussions with popular authors, researchers, conspirators, scientists, and mystics. Listeners from all over the world are invited to call into the program to ask questions or share their own experiences with UFO, paranormal, time travel, alien abduction, conspiracies, and other curious unexplained events. Murray has said that he is driven by the desire to solve the great mysteries of our time. From his first days as radio broadcaster, according to his biography on Coast to Coast, Norrie had aimed to expose the stories that mainstream media will never touch. The unusual, the paranormal, and things like that. Explaining his life calling, saying he learned that broadcasting was the best business to explore these issues, and I have been doing it over 33 years. Norrie was born in Detroit, Michigan on June 4, 1950. His parents were Lebanese descent. He grew up in Dearborn Heights and was brought up like a Roman Catholic. Norrie had an out-of-body experience as a child. As a teenager, he became fascinated with paranormal. When he was about 13, his mother gave him a copy of Walter Salafin's We Are Not Alone. Reading about UFOs hooked him to the subject, and he was joined the National Investigation Committee for Aerial Phenomena, which is NICAP. 9 years service as a full lieutenant in the U.S. Navy reserves, and noting nothing to blunt Norrie's interest in the strange and the unknown. Before he became the host of the very successful Nighthawk program, RTK in St. Louis, Norrie had worked in WCAR AM and WJBK in Detroit and at KSTP in St. Paul, Minnesota, where at the age of 28 became the youngest news director in the country. While he served as news executive, he was the recipient of 3 Emmy Awards. While he was hosting Nighthawk, Norrie was tapped by premier radio networks to guest host on Coast to Coast for Art Bell. His first program was on April 28, 2001. Later, he replaced Ian Punnett as the Sunday host. On January 1, 2003, Nuri assumed the weeknight hosting duties when Art Bell announced he wished to retire. On January 21, 2006, Bell decided that he would like to return, but only to do a weekend program, thereby replacing Punton on Saturday night and Nuri on the first two Sundays on the month of the month. On January 22, 2006, after the death of his wife on January 5, Bell returned to hosting intermittently. Clinton hosted the spinoff Coast to Coast Live on Saturday night, a position he held until 2011, when due to health matters, he left the broadcast. On what was his traditional Halloween program, Art Bell hosted his final Coast to Coast on October 31st, 2010. Nuri was signed to remain as the principal host through 2013. Although Nuri was not openly declared an affiliate with any political party, he is an advocate, has an advocate interest in politics and its influence upon the nation. Many listeners feel that they have detected a slight meaning of Nuri's views to libertarian and cite his high regard for the principles of Texas Republican Congressman Ron Paul as evident. Nuri said that in his first book, Working in the Light, Unlocking the Five Senses and Limited Potentials in 2006, written with bestseller author William J. Burns. Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment, Human Empowerment, Ultimate Productivity, and Absolute Happiness. The two authors, they follow up in 2009, entitled Journey to the Light, in which they presented amazing firsthand accounts of how ordinary people changed their lives, transcending their doubts and fears, and unlocking the secret to their spiritual growth. In October 2011, Nuri released his third book, Talking to the Dead, written with Rosemary Ellen Gulftree, a leading expert on the paranormal and supernatural. The book explores the colorful history and of personalities behind spiritual communication, weaving together spiritual, mental, physical, science, and technology. So I gave you kind of a glimpse between the difference between Art Bell and Nuri. Like I said, I talked to Art Bell, and I've had Nuri on, and I've spoken to Nuri several times during the times he's been on. And, you know, all of us have had these types of shows on. My shows are a lot like theirs in a way, but a lot different because I cover a lot of news, and I do a forensic investigation of crime scenes using actual evidence that I have pulled up and investigated myself. Now, let's go into another conspiracy in this book. Fish and birds killed on massive scales. Early in 2011, remember this report, by the way, flooded in and all over the world about massive fish and birds dying off. Theories multiplied as to the cause, from freak weather events to diseases to the effects of HARP on wildlife. On New Year's Day in 2011, residents of Beebe, Arkansas, woke up to find the bodies of over 5,000 red-winged blackbirds strewn about 1.5 miles on the streets. Blackbirds do not fly at night. What were they doing flapping around in the dark? What caused the massive killing? Birds that would normally be roosting after dark. Theories range from people shooting fireworks off in New Year's Eve to bright lightning or hail that set the birds into panic. The investigators ruled out poison. John Fitzgerald, director of Cornell University's laboratories in Ithaca, New York, suggested that most likely explains that the birds were nesting in a single tree that got caught by some rainstorm that fatally soaked and chilled them. Violent weather has invaded much of Arkansas that New Year's Eve, including a tornado that killed three people, so lightning might have frightened the birds into taking off. Perhaps the thousands of dead blackbirds found in Beebe might be explained, but the deadly mystery plague that killed millions of birds and fish seemed to be just the beginning of events that were striking all over the world. December 20th, 2010. Now, this is the first one, was on New Year's Day. That was 1-1-2011. And this is December 20th, 2010. Dates. Reports received that 100 tons of sardines, chokers, catfish began to wash up on the Brazilian fishing town. January 4th, 2011. 500 blackbirds were found dead in the Louisiana area, 300 miles from Beebe. First area, remember, as I mentioned, was Beebe, Arkansas. 300 miles away from Beebe. Blackbirds found dead. Dozens of dead blackbirds were reported in Kentucky. Hundreds of birds were found in Switzerland. Millions of birds, of dead fish, surfaced in Maryland, in Chicopee area. This January 5th, 100,000 dead drum fish found dead in Arkansas River, 100 miles away from the site of the dead blackbirds in Beebe. 40,000 bodies of velvet swimming crabs, lobsters, sponges, and enigmas were found on the beach in England. Hundreds of dead snapper fish were washed up on the beach of New Zealand. January 6th, 10,000 birds were found dead in Mantingo. Thousands of birds and fish were found reported dead in St. Clair River, Ontario. Hundreds of fish appeared dead in Lincoln Park, southwest Michigan. Pelicans dead in, at a terrible rate on Topsail Beach in North Carolina. East Texas was alarmed by the deaths of hundreds of birds. January 7th, massive deaths of petrels and seabirds were found in New Zealand. Hundreds of tons of dead fish were found floating dead in the Philippines. Tons of farm fish were found dead in Vietnam. January 8th, hundreds of turtle doves fell dead from the sky in Italy. Flocks of birds found dead in Wilson County, Tennessee. On January 10th, hundreds of birds in Sea Life was found dead, washed up on shore in South Carolina. Thousands of dead fish floated up in Australia. Millions of dead fish, alligators, and turtles floated up in the Peruvian rivers. 2,500 tons of fish dead in China. Thousands of small fish washed up ashore in Cuba. Hundreds of dead birds fell from the sky in Germany. And numerous whales floated ashore in Ghana. Thousands of fish were found dead in India on January 11th. Massive deaths of birds occurred in Brazil, Taiwan, in Switzerland, and the United States. January 12th, thousands of birds dead within Turkey. January 14th, 300 dead birds dropped dead in Alabama sky. 1,500 dead birds fell to earth in Ukraine. In the United Kingdom, carcasses of dozens of seals found dead in Norfolk coast. 100 dead birds fell on British homes. 40,000 dead devil crabs found dead on the beach. Mysterious death of puffer fish found dead in Hawaii. Hundreds of birds were found dead in South America. Unexplained whale death, the highest number recorded in history in Argentina. Throughout the month of January, bizarre massive amounts of fish and birds continue to occur all around the world. There are even more examples. 24 pilot whales found dead off the coast of New Zealand. 10,000 cattle dead mysteriously in Vietnam. 1 million dead fish washed up in Los Angeles area. Thousands of fish washed up ashore in Florida, following by the dead bodies of millions of jellyfish. Hundreds of dead birds were found dead in Lake Charles, Louisiana. 20 dead horses were found basically in a farm in Virginia. 200 cows were found dead in Portage County, Wisconsin. Many suspect there were named as at least possible assassins in these strange mass deaths of birds and fish. Pollution was named as the likely cause, following by a variety type of poison. Now, you think about this poison in the air and in the water, my God, at that magnitude, all in the year of 2011. This is scary. Monsanto's genetic engineering program was being blamed. The end times God is coming for his people in judgment day, that was being touted. Chemical disbursements thrown in the Gulf, covering up the BT oil spill in the Caribbean, was brought up as a possible cause. The Bush family working with the Bilderbergs was also mentioned as a cause. Earth movement causing the release of methane gas. While conspiracy buffs could embrace one or more of the above as a possible cause, number one on the most of the list was HARP, or some type of weather modification instrument. The many flocks of birds struck down from the skies, and the hundreds of tons of fish in the water around the world was simply collateral damage for experiments being conducted to fine-tune advanced mechanism for controlling world weather. Now, it's a possibility of world weather, but then again, those deaths of those birds and things have not occurred after that. Now, that's a strange story, isn't it? And is it a conspiracy? I don't think so. I think that is really going on. And what will happen if we find out something other is being used to alter, you know, the bird's lifespan, and say that they have new advanced technology of it that they might be using on us. Look at the behavior that we do, much of the stuff that people do now that we see in the media. It doesn't make any sense what's happening. Here's a story that's interesting. Rothschilds and international bankers arranged Lincoln's death. In the conspiracy, John Rothschild was a hitman hired gun by the powerful British bankers and the Rothschilds, according to those who believe that assassination theory of Rothschilds had been loaned to the Lincoln administration at very high interest, assuming that the Union had no choice other than to accept their outrageous terms. The frugal and resourceful frontman spirit in the Lincoln caused him to refuse the Rothschilds' offer and to accept the necessary funds elsewhere. Although he refused, only strung their senses of pride and greed. The true reason for their plan of planning his assassination was they acknowledged that Lincoln's policy indicated a mild reconstruction of the South after the war. Once that would encourage an assumption of agricultural rather than industrial. Additional post-war policies likely under Lincoln would have destroyed the Rothschilds' common commodity speculations. While Lincoln, out of his way, the Rothschilds planned to export the weakness of the United States and take over the economy. Rome in, but anyway, this gives you a kind of idea. I'm not going to read everything in the book. You should get this book. It's really quite interesting. The book is by Brad Steiger and Sherry Steiger. It's called Conspiracy and Secret Societies. One other one. I'm going to see if this mentions Stuart Swelow, who was a friend of my show. I've had him on the show for years, but Montauk Project. This incredible project involved mind control, a Nazi secret society, extraterrestrial, the Manhattan Philadelphia experiment, and time travel to time and space. The Montauk Air Force Station is situated on the even older naval base and Camp Hero, located at the North Strip tip of Long Island on Highway 27. There is a state park there, as well as empty shells of buildings and barracks. The old base is still listed by the Army as a storage site for chemical weapons, and there are tunnels beneath it filled with water, and according to some, the skeletal remains of hundreds of young males. How did these skeletons end up in tunnels under the old military base? Camp Hero was built as a secondary Indian burial ground. But these are not the remains of American Indians. Essentially, some researchers say that the Montauk is a planetary energy port. Linked to Mars in Egypt and the legendary Atlantis. But neither are the bones, those ancient material from Atlantis. One story has it that by 1954, covert branches within the U.S. government and government structures of the superpower had cut a deal with representatives from terrestrial intelligence the bar, the ETs, super scientific or technology knowledge in exchange for access to our planet. It says they had mineral deposits they were looking for. In addition, the aliens were allowed to conduct various experiments on people who made no general contribution to society and who would not be missed. The skeleton retreat of old Montauk Air Force Station, last vestal of the street people, runaways, homosexual males, and other street kids who they disappear with a note all the time, which marks down as they're missing. An alternative explanation for the skeletons is the tunnels under the old base. It was base is that they are not are all the remnants of the hundreds of bright young people who drew into secret government project and ESP, mind control, time travel, out-of-body experiences. According to alleged eyewitness and survivor of experiments in the Montauk program and controlled by alien intelligence who cruel minds manipulate them some of our own best and brightest young people in insanity and suicide. Others were projects into wormholes, into time and space that they never returned. According to Prescott Nichols, while he was working in Long Beach defense contractor, a sighting people with psychic powers, he traced disrupted radio signals into Montauk Air Force Base and began an exhausting period to research what gradually was revealed to his astoundment that there had been involvement in a secret project on Long Base. Somehow he had survived with two different lifetimes at one, Montauk. The only, the other is a different location. Nicholas has no sooner made that discovery than in 1985 when he met Duncan Cameron, a man with high developed psychic abilities. Proceeding cautiously, Nicholas learned that Cameron had been the primary psychic in the Montauk program with time travel and had been aboard the Edridge during the fatal Philadelphia experiment that happened in 1943. Duncan had also been in the crew along with the experiment in visibility. Today, with his young brother, Edward, who he has reconciled as an electronic engineer, Al Bielek, who also claimed to be a survivor in 1943 secret Navy experiment. The Montauk Project, then, now understood, had been inspired by Nancy, the secret societies and their research in engineering, mind control, and extraterrestrial communication. The Order of the Black Sun and that of the teachings have been incorporated I'm reading this whole thing down. I'm going to stop here. But on the Montauk Project, Stuart Wagle was one of the ones that was used the experimental base be able to communicate, do time travel. They had altered his ability to see. If you look at Stuart Swaywell, he's been on my show countless numbers of times, but he also has a website. And it's very interesting to see, you know, how far people will go, you know, regarding things like this. Like, you know, if you travel and stuff. But anyway, long and short of the thing, I'm going to leave the air. I have gotten extremely tired and trying to get a little bit done before the day starts. So are you going to start up a new mine, or what has your plan? But these stories that, you know, I'm telling you that have been airing, it's very sad because what we try to do is get as much information that you would have and that you would discern. You know, this is when it would be good to go out and have 83, but you need somebody to discern where you are as far as electrolytes. And let's go from there. Let's see what happens. Now, I can give you a 10... I don't know. I just kind of slipped up because I'm tired. Again, tired. So anyway, I'm going to end the show again, I'm trying to get in the swing of things to do the program again, but I thought it would be interesting to cover this thing on conspiracies, and I'll bring out some more information. If you have one that or something you want on the air, just contact me. 630-863-9971. I'm saying this now because I'm talking under tired review, but like I said, the story about Nori and this one particular spot. Well, again, I'm tired. I'm going to end the show right now, but the beginning of the show, please listen to what, you know, was on there in regards to the conspirators. It's really interesting, and try to get the book. And don't mind me, I'm sleeping. And this is Deanne for the end of the show. And I will be back possibly tomorrow night. Good night. But think about these conspiracies. We covered Bell. I'm going to cover other ones as we go. Good night, everyone, and peace.